Welcome to the Shir Shem Yishmol Parshas Korach. Wanted to see a piece tonight for those who have Sfarim. It's page Resh Mem Ches, which I guess is a good page for Machi Vorim. Very, very fascinating piece about the whole rebellion of Korach, the whole taina of Korach, that Kol Ha'eda Kulam Kedoshim, you know, Korach was the ultimate Democrat, lowercase d, you know, somebody who believed that everybody was Kadosh, everybody was holy, why should Moshe Rabbeinu be different than anybody else? And an exploration of that taina in a way which is, to my mind, very, very fascinating. So the Shem Yishmol starts off with a medrash that one might describe as cute, but clearly it's much more than cute. It's something which requires elucidation. The Medrash Rabbah, Bamidbar Rabbah, Perek Yudches Tif Tazayin. Lama Cholak Korach Moshe Rabbeinu Olav HaShalom. Medrash asks numerous places what caused Korach to pick a fight with Moshe Rabbeinu Olav HaShalom. So we know that there are various answers to that question. The Medrash here, a lesser known Medrash, gives the following very, very interesting answer. Omar, Ani Beno Shel Shemen. Korach said, you know what gives me the right to argue on Moshe Rabbeinu? Because my father was oil, Shemen. What does it mean? Korach, if you look in the Pasuk, is Korach ben Yitzhar. His father's name is Yitzhar. We know from Kriyas Shema that Yitzhar is not just a proper name. Yitzhar means oil, right? So even though you normally read the Pasuk, it says Korach ben Yitzhar ben Kehos, you know, ben Levi. So you know, his father's, okay, ben Yitzhar means his father's name was Yitzhar. When his father took his SATs, he signed, you know, Yitzhar. But the Medrash says no, Yitzhar means oil. He saw himself as being the son of oil. And we know, continues the Medrash, explaining what Korach was thinking, that whenever you add oil to another liquid, such as water, oil always floats to the top. So if my father is named Yitzhar, that's the sure sign that I'm supposed to be on top, says the Medrash. Below od, ela shekostuv ela shnei b'nei ha-Yitzhar, Chiyesh l'shem and bonim, elazeh Aaron v'David shenim shechu b'shem and amishcha. Aaron notav koruna v'David malchus. Moreover, says the Medrash, if you look in the Pasuk in Zechariah, it describes two great leaders of the Jewish people as being b'nei ha-Yitzhar, sons of the Yitzhar. Right? Now, if Yitzhar is a proper name, you wouldn't say sons of the Fred, you know, sons of the George. Maybe you would say sons of the Donald, but I mean, that's about as far as you would ever go, right? But B'nai HaYitzhar, you know, putting the definite article there is out of place. So the Medrash interprets B'nai HaYitzhar means two great Jewish leaders who were anointed with oil. Aaron HaKohen was anointed with oil and David HaMelech was anointed with oil. So you see that oil raises the person up and can bring him to a place of greatness, whether it be Kahuna or Malchus. Omar Korach, Uma Elu Shenim Shechu B'Shem HaMishcha Bilvad Natu Kahuna Malchus. These two individuals, what was their connection to oil? They got oil poured on their heads. Alright, that's nice, but it's a much looser connection than my connection to oil. Ani Shani B'no Shel Shemen. Eini Nimshach V'Nasta Kohen U'Melech. I'm not just anointed with oil. I stem from oil. My father is oil. I'm Korach ben Yitzhar. So how much more so should I be Zoche to being both a Kohen and a Melech? I should be a high priest and I should be a king. Miyad Nechlak Al Moshe. Right? So right away when Korach works that all out in his mind, that he's entitled to greatness because after all he's Korach ben Yitzhar, my father's name is oil, so that, you know, that pushes him over the edge and he enters into this machlokas with Moshe Rabbeinu. Your initial reaction is, okay, that's cute. My initial reaction, that's cute. Korach ben Yitzhar, okay, that's cute. Yitzhar means oil, okay, very, very nice. But clearly there's something going on here which is not just oil floating on the surface. there's something which is deeper going on over here. Korach thought that he would win against Moshe Rabbeinu because of his father's name, right? My father's name, Yitzhar, means that I'm somehow entitled to the Kahuna and the Malchus, right? And if my father's name was Melech, so, you know, I would walk around thinking that I'm a Ben Melech, you know, I'm a prince, I'm a king, I'm entitled to the Malchus, right? Clearly there's something else going on over here, but what exactly is the Medrash getting at by saying that Korach's rebellion was based on the idea that he was Korach ben Yitzhar? Yeah, right. So what's going on over here? So part of the reason I picked this piece is because it connects to something we learned mamish yesterday in the limud of the Gemara. L'havin advarim, to try to understand what's going on over here in this medrash. B'shas yuma ayin aleph amid beis. Literally, the Gemara we happened to be doing yesterday in going through the Gemara in Yuma, we found the following. Amru lei yaisim b'nei amamin l'shlam de'avdin uvda de'arim. Right? Again, if you recall yesterday, we saw the Gemara that describes how one Yom Kippur, after the Avodah was done, the Kohen Gadol was walking home. The entire, or a huge entourage was following the Kohen Gadol. But when Shmaya and Naftalim, the heads of the Sanhedrin, happened to pass that way, the entourage redirected, they left the Kohen Gadol, and they walked after Shmaya and Naftalim. Right, as an expression of respect for these two great Talmidei Chacham, the Gedolei Adar, even over the Kohen Gadol. So at the end of the procession, the Shmaya and Naftalim turn to the Kohen Gadol, and they take their leave from the Kohen Gadol. You know, everything should be well. And the Kohen Gadol it was obviously upset or miffed at the fact that his glory was shifted over to Shmaya and Naftalim. He says to them sarcastically, "You b'nei amimin, you children of Gentiles." Shmaya and Naftalim were descended from Geirim, from converts. "You children of Gentiles, go l'shlom, go in peace." You know, take the knife, drive it in, right, and give it a good twist. So they answer back, "We, the children of Gentiles, who follow in the ways of Aram, will go in peace. But you, the son of Aaron, who doesn't go in the way of Aaron, so you won't necessarily go in such peace." Right? They knew how to give back. What does it mean that they were going in the way of Aaron, whereas the Kohen Gadol was not going in the way of Aaron? So we saw Rashi yesterday. Rashi says, you know, Aaron was an Olev Shalom, but Olev Shalom, right? He was a peaceful man. He loved peace. He pursued peace. Right? So here's Shmaya and Naftalim are nice, peaceful people, and the Kohen Gadol is a starbistan, you know, he's a bitter personality, right? So he's not following the easygoing, the loving approach of Aaron HaKohen, where Shmaya and Naftalim are. But if you think about it, that interpretation is not entirely easy to understand. Because after all, okay, so we see that the Kohen Gadol was bitter. He was not following the way of Aaron. But Shmaya and Naftalim, I mean, I assume they were, you know, fine, polite, nice people. But there's nothing in the story, per se, that would necessarily indicate that. Moreover, being that they're talking to a Kohen Gadol, you would think that the Maisa Aaron in this circumstance means not just Aaron's personality and his character traits, but something having to do with the Avodah, right? What were the Avdin de Aaron? What were the deeds of Aaron HaKohen? They were involved with the Kahuna and the Beis HaMikdash. Shmaya and Naftalim had no shaychus. They had no connection to the Kahuna, to the Avodah and the Beis HaMikdash. So what does it mean exactly? So he quotes the following. Upirshuram Mepharshim. Of his sefer Avodas Yisrael Me'magid Mikoshnitz. The Koshnitz for Magid in particular, he says, other Mepharshim give the following explanation of this Gemara. The Iker Avodas Hayom Hoysa Al Yedeyim V'hoyu Heim Ostem Uvda De'aron Beruchnius. Unbelievable pshat, says the Koshnitz for Magid. While it's true that on Yom Kippur, when the Beis HaMikdash stood, It was the Kohen Gadol who went through the Avodah and did all of the necessary acts to effectuate the mechila, the forgiveness that was associated with Yom Kippur, at the same time that the Kohen Gadol was going through all of the acts in a physical sense, the Gedolei Hador, Shmaya Naftalion, did exactly the same thing the Kohen Gadol was doing in a spiritual sense. So in other words, don't think, says the Kashim Sur Magid, that the Kohen Gadol was acting alone in doing activities to bring down HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mechila, his forgiveness to the Jewish people. It was really a shutfus, and it's always a shutfus, it's always a partnership. The Kohen Gadol does the activities, and the Gedolei Yisrael do something which in a ruchniyistic sense, in a spiritual sense, complements what the Kohen Gadol is doing through his physical actions. So in other words, in theory, if the Kohen Gadol had just done the Avodas Yom HaKippurim, but Shmaya Naftalion or their equivalents would not have been there to be able to do whatever they were doing in ruchniyos, somehow the mechila coming down, the kapara coming down from the Ribbono Shalom would have been incomplete or maybe even non-existent. A tremendous idea from the Kashim Sur Magid. So Rimela says the Kashim Sur Magid that what Shmaya Naftalion meant to convey was this very idea. You, the Kohen Gadol, are not acting like Aaron HaKohen. Right? Obviously, you're not, you know, an Oev Shalom for Odev Shalom in the way in which, you know, your great-grandfather Aaron HaKohen was. We, Shmaya Naftalion, are Ovdin of Dovid Aaron. We are engaged in the activities, the deeds of Aaron, not just in our conduct, Ben Odom L'Chaveira, but our activities on Yom Kippur complemented yours and enabled the mechila to come down, enabled the kapara to come down from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Right? In other words, it's not just stam that the people left the Kohen Gadol and they went to file Shmaya Naftalion. Shmaya Naftalion were as important a part of the day's activities as the Kohen Gadol himself was. Again, tremendous, tremendous chiddush. Why is that? So the Shem Mishmol goes on to elaborate on this idea from the Kashim Sur Magid in a, again, a fascinating, fascinating way. V'nireh ki mash she'ikr avodah sayon b'ruchnius lo hayo nitzrach she'tiyeh b'kohen gadol davka. How is it that in order to engage in the avodah sayon of Yom Kippur in a physical sense, you need to be descended from a particular family. You have to come from the line of Aaron HaKohen, and you have to be a Kohen Gadol. I mean, there are yichus requirements to be a Kohen Gadol. And yet, the Avodas Hayom Beruchnius, in other words, to accomplish what Shmaya Naftalion did, didn't require any particular yichus. Shmaya Naftalion had terrible yichus, in a sense, right? I mean, they were descended from converts. They ultimately, you trace back their yichus, you end up outside of the Jewish people. So how is that? Why is it that the Gashmius, in a physical sense, you need to have yichus? In Ruchnius, the yichus doesn't matter whatsoever, and Shmaya and Naftalion are able to help bring about mechila for the Jewish people simply on their merits alone and having nothing to do with their family stature. Why is that? So he says the following. Ki nishmos Yisrael kulam hem koma achas shlema. The entire Jewish people, all of our neshamos, are bound together and on some level are all equivalent to one another. All of our neshamos ultimately have that same level of kedusha because we all have this one great neshama. Uchemo kohen ha'oved avodah biyad. Nechshav shekol gufo oved lo hayad levado. Kimo chen ha'neshama ha'ovedes beruchnius. Nechshav kimo ha'kohen gadol ha'ya oved. Sharehu ever me'ivarov. Just as when the Kohen does Avodah with his hand, we don't say the hand of the Kohen is doing the Avodah. The Kohen is doing the Avodah. The hand is just one appendage of the Kohen's body. Hu'adinami, it's exactly the same thing, says the Shem Yishmuel. On some level, all of us, Jewish people, are all interconnected. There's one great neshama which connects all of us to one another. So in a certain level, when a Kohen does the avoda, all of us are doing the avoda. Right? Ultimately, we're all connected on some level. Aval gufim me'achar she'ein nifrodim, alkein tzarich she'tiyeh avoda b'kohen davka. But when it comes to things that are relevant to the body, to the guf, so things that have to be done physically have to be done by that body, which is a Kohen. So when we're talking about things that are physical, your body matters, and who you are in a physical sense matters. Your yichus matters. Who you are physically matters. Whether the person is blemished or unblemished matters. But when it comes to matters of the neshama, so there, because our neshamas are all interconnected, everyone, we're all part of that same klal yisrael, which is interjoined through our neshamos. So in Shmaya and Avtalion are as much a part of that as the Kohen Gadol himself. So in Ruchnius, in other words, the spiritual avoda, which is necessary to bring about the kapara of Yom Kippur, can be effectuated through Shmaya and Avtalion as much as it can through the Kohen Gadol himself. Now let's bring it back to Korach. Korach knew this vort. Korach, Stoma learned the Svarim, the Koshim, the Magid. Seems like, so to speak, right? Korach understood this. Korach understood that Klal Yisrael is really one big neshama, the guf and muchlok, in various different bodies, right? That's what he said, Ki chol ha'edah kulam kedoshim. Everybody's holy, meaning Hainu shekadosh hu nivdal me'achar shekol ha'edam kulam nivdalu me'aguf. Im kein af asiyosam agashmis nechsheves kamo asiyas ha'neshama ve'im sarach lezor avodah kohen gadol davka. Once you make once you have the axiom that on a ruchniyistic level we're all the same. Our neshama is shared collectively. There's one neshama in various different bodies. If you accept that idea, so it's not a big jump on some level to say, if we all are the same from the perspective of the neshama, we should all be the same from the perspective of the guf, of the body as well. What's this caste system in Klal Yisrael? A Kohen does this, a Levi does that. Someone from Yehuda can be a king, somebody not from Yehuda can't be a king. Men have these mitzvahs, women have these mitzvahs. What do you mean? Says Korach. Kol ha'edah kulam kedoshim. Our neshamas, they're all exactly the same. There should not be no difference between ourselves whatsoever. Why do we insist that a Kohen does the avoda? The Kohen's neshama is no different than the Levi's neshama, is no different than the Yisrael's neshama, is no different than the woman's neshama. So any of those people we mentioned can go and do the avoda in the Mishkan of the Beis Hamikdash, right? And from the neshama's perspective, we're all the same. Rak komi she'ovid avod nechsheves kum avodas kohen gadol shehaya hu ha'oved shehareyu ke'echad mevarav. We're all interconnected. You shouldn't need a kohen gadol or a kohen or anything of that nature. Uve'emes. So the truth is, let's buttress Korach's claim a little bit. Right? So we saw already that Korach on some level, says the Shem Yishmuel, is really just taking the idea of the Koshim Tzor Magid. He's taking the ball of the Koshim Tzor Magid and running with the ball. If we're really all one neshama, just in different bodies, but our neshamas on a neshama level, we're all the same. So why can't we have, interchangeable roles? Why are there unique roles for Kohanim, Levim, Yisraelim, men, women, v'chulei, v'chulei, v'chulei? Why do we have these separate roles? We're all the same neshama? More than that, we know that there was one individual in Klal Yisrael who defied all of the roles, where he was able to play multiple roles. V'emes motzinu Moshe Rabbeinu olam ha'shalom, shehaya Levi, Mishorer, Mishorer, the Kohen Gadol, the Cholek, the Kodshei Shamayim. Moshe Rabbeinu was able to be a Levi and a Kohen. He served as a Kohen during the Yemei Amiluim. He served as a Levi thereafter opening the gates of the Mishkan, singing in the Mishkan again after all he's a Levi. So how is Moshe Rabbeinu able to be a Kohen and a Levi? Right? So he writes, for whom it's sad, ki gufo shel Moshe and his dakech, for all of the madrekas ha-nefesh. For medrash rabo, ki gufo shel Moshe kodosh yoster mi malochim. For gufo lo nasem mostoch mavdil ben ha-nefesh. Al kein afilu pu'ulas gufo nechsheves pu'ulas ha-nefesh levod, ve al kein hoyoyocho liyos ha-kol kanal. Says the Shem Yishmol, it's not by accident that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to play multiple roles. Because what is it that forces us into a particular role? It's our bodies. From the perspective of our neshamas, we could do whatever we wanted. Our bodies force us into a particular role. But Moshe Rabbeinu's greatness was that he was able on many levels to transcend his physical limitations. He was more neshama than body. The Berush writes, quotes the Shem Yishmuel, that Moshe Rabbeinu's neshama in some ways was holier than that of the Malachim. Right? He was able to reach an incredibly high madrega, a very high level in ruchnius, in spirituality. So if you're able to sort of get beyond your body and be mostly spirit, so in the realm of the spirit, you don't have these distinctions, Kohen, Levi, Yisrael, v'chule. Right? I guess when they have Kriya Satara up in Shamayim, they never have to go around asking, are you a Kohen, are you a Levi, are you Yisrael? The Shamas are all the same, right? There's no difference between the Shamas in that regard. Moshe Rabbeinu was mostly Neshama, so he transcended these labels which are associated with the body in particular. So that's how Moshe Rabbeinu was able to serve multiple functions. Vihine Korach Hoshav Shigam Kol Ha'eda Vasher Kulam Heim Kedoshim En Haguf Shelohem Mosoch Mavdil Yal Asmo Chashav Od Yoser Hayu Shizdakich Ad Ma'od Kimo Moshe Rabbeinu Olav HaShalom. The mistake of Korach was that he saw everyone, especially himself, as being on the Madrega, on the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was more spirit than body, so he was able to serve multiple roles. Korach said, Kol Adam Kulam Kedoshim. What's true of Moshe Rabbeinu is true of everybody else. Everybody else in Klal Yisrael, we can focus on their neshama exclusively, and as such, the idea of having unique roles for different people is not something that we have to be concerned about at all. Right? The same way that the neshamos are interchangeable, the roles for people in society are interchangeable, not a problem, just like Moshe Rabbeinu is able to serve multiple roles as well. Beyond, so that's where Korach is coming from, says the Shem Yishmuel. Beyond that, Korach says, I in particular occupy a unique status. My status is like that of Moshe Rabbeinu Olav HaShalom. And this is going to bring us back to the Medrash with which we started. Korach says, my father's name was Yitzhar, was oil, and that should give me a leg up over everybody else. It's clear that Korach is not simply saying, you know, as Rabbi Reuben put it before, because my Zayda chose to name my father Yitzhar, that somehow that gives me magical powers. It's clear that that's not what he's saying. But what he's articulating is an idea. In other words, I have those same personal qualities of Moshe Rabbeinu. I inherited from my father that quality whereby my neshama is not obscured by the body, but my neshama is so powerful that the same way my neshama doesn't recognize any class divisions, in my practice, I need not be limited to any particular class or any particular role in any way whatsoever. And the Shem Yishmuel goes on to elaborate on that idea with a beautiful medrash. Hinei b'medrash v'yikra rabo sofer chavov k'siv v'yilbash madov shenasa midosom kemidoso uk'siv b'shol m'shichmo v'mala gavo mikol ha'om kevon shil b'shu b'godov Hayu nechonim lo kimidosa. Holomarita, afilu yehe adam kotzer, V'nisman ha-melech nasa oroch. L'fi she-bishol she-nimshach b'shemen ha-mishcha nasa m'shubach mikol echov ye'uyon shah. The Shem Yishmol quotes a beautiful medrash in Vayikra Rabba. The medrash there is describing the scene from Sefer Shmuel when the Jewish people are facing off against Goliath, the great giant Goliath, and Klal Yisrael are desperately looking for a hero, somebody who's going to go and fight Goliath. And David, who at that point is a shepherd boy, puts himself forward. So Shaul HaMelech takes his armor, gives it to David, and the pasuk says that Vayulbash Madov. So literally that means that David put on the Madim. Madim in modern day Hebrew is a uniform. He put on the Madim, he put on the armor that belonged to Shaul. But says the Medrash, it's not just that he put on the armor that belonged to Shaul. Madov, Madim, comes from the word Midah, something which fits one's specifications. When David put on Shaul's armor, it fit him. And says the Medrash, when Shaul saw that, he got incredibly upset and jealous of David. Now, says the Shem Yishmoel, again quoting the Medrash, the armor of Shaul should not have fit David. The Pasuk says about Shaul, Mishichmo v'mala gavah mikol ha'am. Shaul was unusually tall. He was taller than everybody else in Klal Yisrael. So by definition, you know, the armor, the uniform of Shaul HaMelech was custom made. You know, he got the biggest size. You know, if it wasn't custom made, he got the biggest size. It probably was custom made. You know, he was unusually tall. So how is it that David put on Shaul's armor and it fit him? So says the Medrash, it was miraculous, right? That David put on the armor of Shaul HaMelech, and even though David was shorter than Shaul HaMelech, he fit into this very tall uniform, this very tall armor, which belonged to Shaul HaMelech. Chol Amadato says the Shem Yishmoel, you see, that even if a person is short, but if he's anointed to be a king, he grows in stature in a literal sense, and that's the power of the Shemen HaMishcha, of the anointing oil, that it gave. David already by that time had been anointed by Shmuel HaNavi, right, unbeknownst to the average person. The Shemen HaMishcha that Shmuel HaNavi poured on the head of David enabled him to rise up, literally rise up in stature, and be the size of Shaul HaMelech. Now, just for pashtus, we'll make this point, and then we'll continue a little bit after Meiriv. For pashtus, the Medrash could be understood, not so much focusing on something which is miraculous, but making a point which I think many of us, you know, will attest to from one's own experience. People grow in to great positions, right? As much as a person might be fit for a position, when a person is placed in that position, you know, he finds himself very oftentimes rising to the position, growing into the position in a very, very rapid way. So in other words, David is now wearing the armor, the clothing of Shaul HaMelech. It didn't really fit him, but the minute he put it on, and at this point in his career, David has already been tapped by Shmuel HaNavi to become the next Melech Yisrael, all of a sudden David finds himself, whether literally or figuratively, growing bigger. He grew immediately into the position. He walked in, and all of a sudden he's able to fill the armor of Shaul HaMelech, meaning the Shemen HaMishcha does something, not just in a literal sense that the Shemen HaMishcha does something, but in a metaphoric sense. The Shemen HaMishcha gave David that koach to be able to literally rise to the occasion and to step into this incredible role. That's the power of Shemen HaMishcha, right? So, obviously we'll see, he's going to talk about oil a little bit. We'll pick up after Meiriv. We'll see what he does with this idea of the power of Shemen HaMishcha and how Korach felt that was something which would apply to him as well. Okay, Rabbi Chanan ben Akasha Omer. Alright, so this is the second part of the Shem Yishmol Shir. Again, the Shem Yishmol is exploring a medrash that says that Korach rebelled against Moshe Rabbeinu based on his father's name. His father's name was Yitzhar, which means oil. Korach says, I come from oil. Oil always rises to the top. And certainly my coming from oil should beat out people who were merely anointed with oil. You know, people like a Kohen, people like a Melech, you know, they had oil poured on them. I am oil itself. You know, I come from the oil family, you know, so to speak. So the last thing we saw the Shem Yishmol is this idea that indeed when oil is placed on someone's head, in other words, when a person is anointed with oil, like a David, like an Aaron, you know, somebody who's anointed to be a king, someone who's anointed to be a Kohen Gadol, that really has an impact on the person. David was anointed to be king, and when he, you know, put on the armor of Shaul HaMelech, which really was too big for him, it fit. You know, he grew into the position almost immediately. That's the milo of Shemin HaMishcha, that it enables a person to grow in that rapid kind of way. B'nei Choshav Korach, Korach thought that Aaron's, how should we say, that which made Aaron fit to be Kohen Gadol, and that which made David fit to be the king, was the result of the Shemin HaMishcha that was placed upon them. That enabled them to become more spirit than body, like we spoke about before, the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu, that he was able, because he was more spirit than body, he was able to play multiple roles in Klal Yisrael. If these individuals were merely anointed, so I come from oil, again as we said before. But Korach made a tremendous mistake. He equated Aaron and David with Moshe Rabbeinu. He said, just as Moshe Rabbeinu was mostly spirit, more spirit than body, so too the effect of the Shemin HaMishcha on Aaron and David was to make them more spirit than body. Not so. They were great people, but they didn't approach the Madrega of Moshe Rabbeinu Olav HaShalom. Now, let me add something which is not the Shem Yishmol, this is me, right? So take it or leave it. But I think, you know, working off of the approach of the Shem Yishmol, I think it's a nice way of explaining the Medrash, right? Again, we pointed out from the very beginning, the Medrash that says that Korach thought that he would be destined for greatness because his father's name was Yitzhar, oil, is just very, very difficult to understand. So my father's name is what determines, you know, the stature I'm going to have in life. And the Kal Vachomer that Korach makes, it's a very strange Kal Vachomer. So Aaron and David were only, they only had a little bit of oil on their heads, and that made them great. So I, who come from oil, Achas Kama V'Kama, how much more so should I be great and extraordinary, you know, in terms of my ability to serve as a leader? What kind of strange Kal Vachomer is that all about? So perhaps, again, this isn't the Shem Yishmol, but I think it's in line with the general thrust of the Shem Yishmol. Perhaps what that Medrash is driving at is as follows. Korach thought that lineage always trumps personal achievement. Right? In other words, Aaron and David are great, but they just got to where they were through personal achievement, through having the oil placed on their head. It was something, it wasn't something intrinsic to where they were coming from. It was something that they did. I who come from oil, and the point over here is not, you know, that his father's name happened to be Yitzhar, but Korach is saying, look at the kind of family that I come from. Look at my lineage. My lineage is certainly much more impressive than the personal accomplishments of Aaron and David, who may have gotten a little bit of an oil on the head, but, you know, they don't have that rich lineage the way I have it. And the point of the Medrash is to say, no, the opposite is true. In other words, the Kal Vachomer, the Shem Yishmol says the Kal Vachomer of Korach is no good because he overestimated the value of what oil being put on the head is all about. He said, if oil being put on the head gets you so far, so being born into oil, Alachat Kama V'Kama gets you far. Shem Yishmol says the Kal Vachomer is essentially right, it's just that, you know, it's just that he had an exaggerated sense of what it gets you when you have oil put on your head. So, Mimela, he came to an exaggerated sense of what it means to be born into oil. I'm suggesting that maybe the Kal Vachomer is fundamentally wrong. In other words, Korach said, you know, if someone who achieves a certain rung through personal achievement is great, so someone who's born into that rung, someone who's born into that status, how much more so should that person be great? The point of the Medrash is no, exactly the opposite is true. Aaron and David became who they were because of their personal qualities. They were fit to be anointed with the Shemen HaMishkan. And again, as we said before from the Shem Yishmoel, when you're anointed with the Shemen HaMishkan, in other words, when you're fit for a certain position, even if when you start the position, you're not quite ready for the greatness of the position, you very rapidly grow into that position. When you're thrust into a situation of leadership, and you're fundamentally fit for that position, so you grow. You grow very quickly. You grow very fast, you know, to occupy that position, but you grow. But to say that my father's name is Yitzhar, so, you know, therefore, I'm obviously meant for greatness. The same way we look at that intuitively and we say, what? Because your father's name is Yitzhar, that means you're destined for greatness? The Medrash means that intentionally. The Medrash wants us to look at that and to say, what kind of crazy idea is that? You know, your father's name has no bearing on the kind of leader that you're going to be. Not only does your father's name not have any bearing on the kind of leader you're going to be, but to set aside your personal qualities and to look exclusively at your lineage, right? Again, Korach doesn't say, I should be a leader because I have this, that, and the other thing. He basically says, my father's name is Yitzhar. Notice, I come from royalty, I come from greatness, and that's enough. All right, lineage is nice. But lineage is nice when accompanied by personal qualities. And that's exactly the point that the Medrash is trying to make. Aaron and David had personal qualities. They were picked. The fact that you happen to have a lineage of oil is essentially meaningless at the end of the day. And that's exactly the point that the Medrash is trying to bring out. I'm sorry? Right, so Yaakov is pointing out, I think correctly, that Korach is speaking out of two sides of his mouth. On the one hand, he's talking about the democratic impulse, kol ha'oyah kulam kedoshim, and then, according to the Medrash, he's talking about how great my family is and how I'm particularly roy, you know, to be on top. I think you're right to point that out, but it's not that the pasuk and the Medrash are presenting, you know, contradictory perspectives. It's that Korach himself, like most despots, says one thing but means another, right? What was the whole thrust of communism? Everybody's equal, right? What was the reality of communism? Some people are more equal than others, right? How do you square the ideology with the reality? Okay, so that's why the communist system ultimately failed in Soviet Russia, right? I mean, because at the end of the day, the people got up and said, wait a minute, this doesn't make any sense, you know? You're saying one thing, but the reality is very, very different. So Korach was the same as well. And I was called Kulam Kedoshim. There was a certain element of democracy to what Korach spoke about. But deep down, and maybe he even believed it on some level, you know? But deep down, if you really scratch away what Korach was getting at, it was not that kol ha'eda kulam kedoshim, it's that Korach kadosh hu, right? Korach is special. And, you know, the idea that everybody is special was really just a facade to put forward that idea that Korach himself is special. Right. I mean, Karach, of course, seems to be related to Kereach, which means bald, which means that in the end of the day, he wasn't really left with all that much. Right? I mean, he, you know, there wasn't much hair, you know, that that Karach brought to the you know, to the discussion. He was Nimsa Kereach. He was left bald and without anything to show at the end of this this whole discussion. Yeah. Kerach, right. Right. So, you know, in the end of the day, Korach may have pointed to his father's name as great lineage, but it's not just about who your father is, it's about who you are. And Korach is a very different, you know, kind of name than Yitzhar. You can come from a Yitzhar, but you can still be a Korach, you know, in the end of the day. And I think that idea, you know, is being brought out by the Medrash in a very, very strong fashion as well. Okay, we'll pick up Ez Hashem next week, Wednesday night, and we look forward to seeing everybody then. Hopefully we'll be back downstairs, but hopefully we'll be air conditioned. Okay, Yerchanan Ben Akasha.